Welcome to Wiley Methodist this morning. And is this on? Woo-hoo. All right. Glad you're here this morning. If you are visiting with us this morning, we got some returning visitors. A couple of families are returning visitors. I won't embarrass them, but we're just glad to have some old faces, some new faces, and just everyday faces. Larry, you're an everyday face. Okay? It's glad to have everybody with us this morning. If you are newer to our church and we don't know who you are, you haven't registered with us, we'd love for you to fill out the blue card. There's one in the seat, should be one in the seat pocket in front of you, and would love to know who you are. You don't have to do that, but we really would like to know who you are, and you can put your email down there and check the little box if you'd like to be added to our email list. And after the service, I will be in the foyer down at this end and have a free gift for our visitors. If you'd like to bring the blue card and come meet me there, I'd love to get to know you. That's one of the things that, you know, I've actually kind of grieved that as we get, I love that we're getting bigger, but I also grieve that I want to know everybody's name, and I want to know every child's name, and it gets harder to do as we get a little bit larger. But so I invite you to do that. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 18. Now, Robert, are you going to show some grace to me this morning?
Yes, sir.
I got word I was preaching at 8:30 last night, so, you know, what would encourage me is like a standing ovation at the end or something small like that. I don't know, whatever, if the mood strikes you. But God's ready to speak all the time. God is ready to speak all the time. He doesn't need me. Matthew 18. In verse 21, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "How many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Don't you love that? Peter, man, he was bold, if nothing else. Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we're just saying that, Lord, that you don't need me. You don't need anybody. You are ready to speak to us at all times, in all ways. So I pray that, Holy Spirit, you would be here, that you would speak in power and authority. Change our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I've told this story again, but it's the best wound story that I have. Back in my day, younger days, a few of you I actually played ball with that are in the church here. Yeah, it's when all my, well, most of my body parts worked back in those days. Not all of them, but most of them. But back in my days of playing softball, now it's a bunch of wimps that play softball. I'm just telling you, we were tough guys back in the time because the infields were like crushed diamonds or something. I mean, it was, if you ever slid, it was deadly. I mean, you'd leave most of your skin out there at Nelson Park. Well, some of you heard this story. It's kind of, Cheryl's going, really? You're telling this story again? Okay, so we played a ball game. I played for a church softball team. We played a ball game, and I slid, and when you, like a moron, you know, you also, not only did you have crushed diamonds for the infield, but you all the cool guys wore shorts. You had to wear shorts on. So on my right bun. You can say, Steve, you can say bun in church, can't you?
I can.
You can. Cheek. Because, you know, it could be, you know, anyway. So I slid and I left this, we called them strawberries. I don't know what they call them nowadays. I left this big old nasty strawberry on, and it literally had the infield embedded in this wound. And so I'm acting like it doesn't hurt, but I can barely walk. And we get home, and Cheryl, being the good wife that she is, Cheryl said, oh, that's going to get infected. We've got to put something on that. No, it's okay. Really, it's okay. No, we've got to put something on that. So now we had been married 2 years, two, 3 years, something like that. So she said, and now remember the location of the wound. Okay. So she says, lay out on your stomach on the bed, and I'll go get some stuff, some medicine. And I'm not going to do it now because I'd hurt some people, but I have never screamed that loud in my whole life. I mean, she has to pick the stuff out of the wound, and then she puts this, I think it was peroxide. And if you got a big old open wound, that's not good. That's not good. And I screamed at the top of my lungs, and so I'm literally almost in tears, and Cheryl, and I said, blow. So you can imagine me sprawled out on the bed. Steve, can you imagine? And Cheryl is leaning over, and I'm saying, blow, and she's blowing on my cheek. And she starts laughing, which really made me mad, okay? Y'all thought I had a sensitive wife, a caring, loving wife, but she's laughing. Today's sermon. I've told that before, but I just love telling that story. I don't know why. I didn't love living it, but I do love telling it. Today's sermon is the wound of unforgiveness. Have you ever thought of unforgiveness as a wound? A few years ago, this is about 7 years ago, I did a sermon series where I had people in the church email me or tell me questions that they had. And I got this email, and I preached on it 7 years ago, answered this email, but the email said this: I have forgiven someone who hurt me deeply, and I know I have because there is no hurt in my heart anymore for him. I prayed for this to happen, and God answered my prayer. But how do I forgive someone who physically and mentally abused my loved one? Is it just simply, and so in other words, the wound was not to them, it was to a loved one. Is it just simply saying, I forgive you? When do we really know that you have forgiven someone? How can you get rid of the anger and sometimes hatred for the abuser? How do you keep from wanting revenge on the abuser? How and when do I let it go? You know, I think that's why I've titled this sermon, The Wound of Unforgiveness, because that's the way I see it. I think it is a wound. The first thing I want us to kind of unpack a little bit here is unforgiveness is a barrier to God's forgiveness to us. And we don't like to think about that, but open up the Word and just read it. Matthew 6, Jesus teaches us to pray. It's in the Lord's Prayer. We just recited it just a little while ago. It says, forgive us our debts, which also means we say trespasses, also means sins. Forgive us our debts or our sins, as we also have forgiven our debtors. So Jesus is incorporating into this prayer that he's teaching us that you forgive, and then God forgives you, and when we ask him to forgive us. And notice that as we have forgiven, that's a past tense. So Jesus is saying, this is a given. You should have already done this. You forgive others and ask, and God will forgive you. The Scripture. Matthew 6:14, immediately after the Lord's Prayer, which I just recited part of that, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And if we stop there, we like that, don't we? But the next verse isn't so pleasant. But if you do not forgive men their sins, hello, your Father will not forgive you your sins. Serious stuff Jesus is teaching us. Serious stuff. Now, I want to stop for just a second. This is not if you've got unforgiveness that you're struggling with, this is not a guilt sermon, because I believe that forgiveness is many times, it's not as easy as just saying, I forgive so-and-so. It is a process many times. So I think what's important is to be actively pursuing and engaged in the process of forgiveness. Okay, so if you're struggling with someone, please don't hear condemnation on you. But it's really clear, Jesus is teaching us very clearly that if we expect to be forgiven by God, then we need to forgive our brothers and sisters. Secondly, unforgiveness is like an untreated cancer that will destroy us. An untreated cancer that will destroy us. Somehow we think that if we forgive, we're letting that other person, whoever has done the harm, we're letting them off the hook. That somehow to forgive is to say that was okay. That's not what we're saying at all. That's not what God expects of us. That's not what he's trying to communicate to us in his word. No, forgiveness lets us off the hook. Hello, anybody listening? Forgiveness doesn't let the other person that did the harm off the hook. It lets us off the hook. And there's a man named, I think I put his quote in the handout, Lewis Smedes, and he's deceased now. Died, I think, about 10 years ago. But he was a Christian professor, author, and theologian. He was with Fuller Theological Seminary for 25-some-odd years. And he wrote a book called Forgive and Forget, Healing the Hurts We Don't Deserve. That's probably his most well-known book. But he says this, to forgive is to set the prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you. Don't you love that? We're not letting the other person off the hook. God is a just God. God will deal with the things that are going on in our world. But we are letting ourselves off the hook in unforgiveness. When it's inside of us, it literally will eat us alive. I believe unforgiveness is the root of many, many, many struggles in our life. And I've listed a few of them, I think, there in your bulletin. This is not an all-inclusive list, but I do think that it can contribute and may be the primary factor in so many of these things. Stress, different types of health problems, anger. Do you ever find yourself just angry and you don't even really know why? Just angry. Perhaps there's some unforgiveness. Depression, cynicism, fear, a lack of trust. Those are just a few of the things that came to my mind that unforgiveness, when it takes root in our heart, it can cause health problems. It can cause physical problems. Because we're not, our bodies are not designed to function with that baggage inside of us. One story that I admire so greatly was the response of the Amish community for the Amish West Nickel Mines school shooting in 2006. Most of y'all remember that shooting. And this guy, his name was Carl Roberts. He just walked into this school, and these were, I think maybe 13 or 14 was the oldest, and down to probably five in this school. And he just walks into the school one day and barricades it and sends off the teacher and the boys and shoots eight girls and kills five of them. And you would think that community, I mean, the Amish community are known for, you know, just the peace and tranquility in their communities. And you would think that if anybody had reason to be mad and to be crazy with unforgiveness, it was those Amish families who experienced this. And if you kept up with that story at all, you saw how immediately the Amish community came out and said, "We forgive this man." And not only that, but he took his own life at the end of his rampage. And not only that, but they ministered to that man's wife and children. That's what God can do. Unforgiveness is a powerful thing, but forgiveness is also a powerful thing. The power of forgiveness is perfectly demonstrated for us by Jesus on the cross. And I talked about this last week even, that may have been the week before, but Jesus is, he was innocent. All Jesus ever did was bless people. So he's this innocent man, and he's come to redeem his people, and his disciples betray him, desert him, abandon him. The Jewish leadership falsely accused him. The Romans, you know, they beat him and whipped him and scourged him and ultimately nailed him to a cross. And as he's hanging on the cross and as he's looking down on those who all parties involved, he says, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing." And we read about this in Luke 23. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothing by casting lots. Can you imagine? He's hanging on a cross, and he's probably already near death just from the beating he's taken, and he's unjustly, gone through all of this. And he's looking down, and these soldiers are gambling for his cloak. And he says, "Father, forgive them." The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." So Jesus is what he's going through, and he looks down and he says, "Forgive them. Forgive them." If we ever want a perfect example of how to forgive, look to Jesus. Now, I want to tell you that I understand forgiveness is hard. And for me, it's a lot easier for me to forgive, and probably for most of us, it's a lot easier for me to forgive things when I've been hurt, but when I've seen those that I love be hurt, it's harder. It's a harder struggle for me. And like I said, just to be engaged in that process. So I want to conclude by asking ourselves two questions. First of all, we ask ourselves, is it fair? Is it fair? And these quotes, or this quote comes from Smeeds again, Lewis Smeeds. He says, "The only thing fair for the person that has been wounded is to be healed. The only thing fair is to be healed. And the only way to be healed is to forgive." Do we see the power of forgiveness? And do we see the power that unforgiveness can have in our lives as well? And so, secondly, how do I forgive? And again, I think Smeeds lists these different responses of how we can deal with the woundedness that we have from different things in our life. And the first thing we can do, first response we could have, is to deny they exist. I'm not wounded. I'm good. When inside, it's eating us up, and we have some of these things manifest themselves, the stress and the fear and the anger, health problems, depression, and so on and so forth, but to deny they exist. You know, and some of you, like I've said earlier in the prayer time, I know many of our congregation are undergoing cancer treatment as we speak. And you know, it really, y'all know better than I, that to say, "Oh, there is no cancer, there is no cancer," that doesn't help. You need it, you need help, you need the cancer to be addressed. But to deny it exists, to deny that there is a wound, doesn't get it done. Secondly, how do I forgive? Another response could be to get revenge, to inflict. If you've wounded me, I'm going to wound you twice as much. And that's when we find ourselves so many times with some of these behaviors, the anger. I mean, if you feel like that you are angry a lot, and really, sometimes you don't even know why. Perhaps there is a root of unforgiveness there that needs to be dealt with. And God is the expert in doing that. Then finally, the third response of how we can forgive is to seek healing and let it go. Seek healing and let it go. The only cure for the wounds of our past is forgiveness. Forgiveness. I don't know about you, but man, the struggles that I've had with forgiving a person, I don't want to live with that stuff the rest of my life. I don't want it. I don't want it in there. I don't want it in there because it's poison. And the only cure is forgiveness. So this has been a few years ago. I'm not sure how long ago we did this. Some of you probably wonder what this little bowl or vase or whatever it is. But several years ago, some of you may be here this morning that I have never looked at these and I don't plan on it. These, a few years ago, we wrote down name situations that we needed to forgive, and we placed it in this bowl. And it's been on this altar table for several years, placing it in the hands of Jesus. Now, some of the things that are in this pile, if you put some things in here, you may still be in that process of forgiving. And I just encourage you, press in. Just stay at it. Ask the Lord to help you. But some of these things maybe you've received freedom from. In your bulletin, there is, I think it's a blue insert in your bulletin. Would you mind getting that out for me? We're going to have an opportunity. Here's what I'm going to do with these right here. I'm not going to do it for safety concerns this morning, but I'm going to take these and I'm going to burn them. We're going to release those back to God. But you have an opportunity this morning to forgive, to receive freedom, to release that wound of unforgiveness in your heart. In the blue sheet there, it says, who do I need to forgive? And you don't have to put details, or God knows the details. You don't have to even put last names or anything. It could be, you know, I'm trying to think if there's a Bill. If Bill, if you're here, I'm not mad at you. But you could say, Bill. Is there any Bills here? Hey, man, I hit a non-name. Okay. But you could put a name. You could put some sort of reference there that refers to a situation. So who do you need to forgive? And then the next line is, who wins if you forgive? Who do you think that might be? You win if you forgive. And the next line is, who loses if you don't? Who do you think that might be? You. So in just a minute, I'm gonna ask, where's Trevor? Where you at, Trevor? Trevor, come up and just play something for us just by yourself. I'm going to pray here in just a moment, and I'm going to give, as Trevor plays, I'm going to give you the opportunity to come and take your slip and place it in this bowl. And this is not for anybody's eyes, but just between you and God. And like I said, these things have been in there for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years at least. And I've never looked at them. So let me pray. Father, you are the great forgiver. Father, if anybody's been wronged, it's you. Because we've all sinned and fall short of your glory. So I start off, Father, by personally saying, please forgive me. And forgive me, Lord, when I have trouble forgiving others. Remind me, as your word says, remind me of the depths from which I have fallen. Remind me of what I am without you, without your grace and mercy. So, Father, Holy Spirit, just fall on this place. There could be some really deep wounds this morning. Reach down in those deep places in our hearts and heal those wounds. Help us to forgive. Love you, God. We thank you that you've demonstrated forgiveness on the cross. And Father, let this be Jesus' prayer, let it be our prayer. Father, forgive them. Maybe they knew what they were doing and maybe they didn't. But Father, forgive them. And may I forgive them. In Jesus' name, amen.